All right, everyone. Well, it's great to be back. We're continuing on in Judges 13, where we're looking at the story of Samson, who's the next judge we're going to study here. And last, not last week, the week before, in summary here of what we went through, we talked about the scripture opens up telling us that Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and that this time this evil resulted in 40 years of oppression and occupation. And that was really the longest period of time that we see in the book of Judges, where Israel is enslaved in the land of the enemy that they should have possessed and did not. The enemy is present in that land and has taken them on. And we see an encounter with the angel of the Lord, which is AKA Jesus, appearing to this couple, Manoah and his wife. And they're a couple that have got a lot going on, you know? They're occupied in a land. It's been 40 years, so likely their entire lives in occupation, really not much that they know about the Lord of Israel, besides maybe stories, folklore, who knows what their experience was. But we do know that when the angel of the Lord appears to them, they didn't recognize Jesus. They recognized him as being a man. The woman says he's beautiful and radiant and awesome and knows there's something different about him, but does not acknowledge him as being from the Lord or related to faith. This is how removed Israel had become from their faith. It doesn't take much to remove people from their God, because the enemy does everything to drive wedges between a heritage of faith and a generation that might be removed. So they don't really recognize the angel of the Lord, but what they are told.
And just sorry to interrupt you,
Go
but
ahead.
this is something that just I don't know, like God spoke to me about. This is a thing, especially nowadays. People recognize Jesus as awesome, radiant, kind, wonderful, wise, and all of that, but they still won't recognize him as Lord. We were just having this conversation with someone during this trip, and we're talking about God. And she said, "Well, no, Jesus is amazing. I mean, I still have a few things and a few questions about him. Jesus is great, but so is Buddha, so is Muhammad, so is, you know." So a lot of people have no problem admitting the radiance, the greatness of Jesus. But when it comes to lordship, that he is Lord, that he is God, that we should surrender to him, this is when we have a problem. Not only people away from faith, but even in the church, even Christians as well. We like the Jesus who died on the cross. We like the Jesus who forgave. We like the Jesus of miracles. We like the Jesus of doing the things that he does for us. But when it comes to him being Lord over our decisions, Lord over our thoughts, when it comes to him being on the throne of our thoughts, our actions, our decisions, our spending, our, you know, relationships, all of that, then we don't not recognize him anymore, you know. So this is something that we just need to be careful. I'm sorry to
No,
stop you,
no,
but
no.
I
It's
felt
good.
like God, the Holy Spirit, is just nudging me to say that, and to, you know, for us to you know, examine our hearts. Is he just the radiant, awesome, handsome, great, wonderful Jesus, or if he is actually the Lord over our lives?
And the angel of the Lord absolutely requires this of Manoah and his wife. He says to them that their son is going to come and begin deliverance to Israel. And then he says to them, he calls them to be set apart as their son will be set apart. He calls them towards a life of cleanliness and purity, as their son will also be called. He will be a Nazarite from the moment he's conceived, not just the moment he's born, but from the moment of conception, because his parents will not engage in things that are unclean. It was a big ask for people that really didn't have a ton of faith, only had known slavery and likely idolatry, and were being asked to set themselves apart, to set a standard for their unborn son. They are He is called to be a Nazarite, and we went over what a Nazarite meant. It meant no wine or grape byproducts of any kind, no cutting of his hair, and no touching of any dead thing. And we discussed in detail about what those elements meant, what it meant to be set apart in even your appearance, what it meant to be spiritually sober, and what it meant to go against the ways of society and our culture as they form rules and regulations that kind of move us and guide us. And this was a very strict way to live, publicly and privately. And the chapter ends with Manoah asking the Lord. He says, "Please, O Lord, let the man of God you sent us come to us again to teach us how to raise the boy who is to be born." Manoah recognized that this was a very special being before him. And what he asked was one thing: how I can parent this child. He didn't ask anything else. He said, "Please come back and tell me how to parent this child." And so we pick up today in verse 9. It says, "And God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of the Lord returned to the woman as she was sitting in the field. But her husband, Manoah, was not with her. So the woman ran quickly to tell her husband, 'Behold, the man who came to me the other day has reappeared.' So Manoah got up and followed his wife. And when he came to the man, he asked, 'Are you the man who spoke to my wife?' 'I am here,' he said." This is where the partnership begins between the man, his wife, we don't have a name for her, the man, his wife, and the Lord. It is the partnership of faith. And when you look at it, we talk about this all the time. Asam and I talk about this all the time when we're talking to other couples, and it's something that's been illustrated to us over the years in multiple marriage seminars. But the idea that marriage is a triangle, with husband and wife and the Lord. And the closer you get to the Lord, the closer you draw to one another. And this is a really, this little small blurb is a really great illustration of that. It's a partnership that they're beginning with the Lord. And in that partnership, there's so many things that we can learn just about how they dealt with each other, how they communicated with one another, and how they encountered God together. Okay. And one of the things was, first of all, important to note that there seems to be a pattern in scripture where the angel of the Lord comes to the woman first. We see this with Hagar in Genesis 16. We see it with Mary in Luke 1. We see it here. I mean, there are multiple times in scriptures where we see this happen. This is not unique. And maybe one of the reasons is because in that society, women were considered less than. Women were often considered the weaker vessel, the one that maybe you wouldn't go to first. But God uses the humble and honors the humble to bring faith. And they were ripe and ready, you know? They were ripe and ready to receive God's word. And so God came to them. That doesn't mean that women are somehow better than men and God wants, no, it's about a humble heart. It's about humility that we need to walk out in our lives because God comes and meets us when we're humble. But the very interesting little quick lesson. Honestly, we can probably stop here and do an entire like marriage lesson on just how Manoah and his wife interacted with the Lord in this time. But I will say she runs to him. The Lord comes to her, and what she does is she honors his request and she runs to him and tells him what happened. She didn't stop to just hear it and say, this is a word just for me. No, she knows her husband wanted to be a part of this. And so she comes to him. It really is the illustration of what it looks like to have a submissive wife who's honoring to her husband and honoring to the Lord. Also, he gets up and follows his wife. This is really beautiful because he saw that God was operating in her and through her, and he didn't there wasn't any pride about that. There wasn't any like, oh, I can't follow her because she's a woman and she has some kind. No. God is speaking to
That's
her,
good.
and he believed that, and he followed her to get to the angel of the Lord. It really is a beautiful illustration. Honestly, we can sit and talk about it, but if there's one takeaway is these two were in partnership and their partnership was to the Lord first, and as they did that, they got closer to one another. As they engaged with one another in the ways that God had outlined in this very brief moment, they became closer to one another in the process. And then in verse 12, we read, and then Manoah asked, when your words come to pass, what will be the boy's rule of life and mission? Manoah wants to know one thing. What is the purpose? Rule of life here in Hebrew is mishpat, and it means ordinance or divine regulation. Manoah here is looking for structure, is looking for purpose and a divine sense of what God has called for him. When your word comes to pass, not if your word comes to pass, not, you know, a question in his mind. It's when your word comes to pass. This is the kind of faith that Manoah had. He really, again, is not coming to the party with a ton of theological understanding, but with simple faith. And Manoah asked the most important question here. What am I here to do? Have you ever had that question? Because I know I have. What is the purpose here? Why am I here? And we often run to things with that question, to people with that question that will never be able to answer it for us. We'll never be able to answer it. We'll never be able to fulfill it for us. This question can only go to the Lord. You know, sometimes people are born with amazing talents. And sometimes you think the talent that I have must be what's going to identify my purpose in life. And the purpose is one for all of us. That is to serve and love the Lord. But God uses specific things in our life to get us to a place where we can bring his kingdom, where we can live in his will. And really, truly, it is very difficult to discover that outside of a true relationship with the Lord, where you're saying to him, tell me, what is my rule of life? And Manoah did not shy in doing this. What a simple expression of faith to the Lord. He just what is he supposed to do? What is he supposed to do? And what is our role in that? You know, a lot of times when new parents have little ones, they're especially when they're young, you know, because they haven't done anything yet, right? They're just there. And but when a parent looks at a little baby, there is such potential and such a desire to want to see them fulfill their purpose because they haven't said no yet, right? They haven't been little brats yet. They haven't like pulled on things and disobeyed and yelled or, you know, did something, lied or did something. They're just so fresh and beautiful when they're young. And so when you look at them and all you see is purpose and potential. And this was also true, I believe, for Manoah. They didn't even have this baby yet, but you know, it'd been a baby they'd been dreaming about probably for years, hadn't experienced what it's like to be parents. I'm sure people around them having parents, and finally the promise is coming, and all they want is for this child to fulfill God's purpose in their life.
So just a reminder, why are we going spending so much time in this before we even get to the story of Samson? Because God decided to visit the barrenness of a couple. He decided to visit the barrenness of someone who's been whether praying or not, someone who's been missing something. And remember, as Dina mentioned earlier, their condition was really bad. And as we discussed last week, in a country that's occupied under very heavy bondage, and they can't have children. And just like they don't have children at that time, God didn't have children in that time, in that nation. So God is like, let's have a partnership. I will give you a child, and that child can work for me. God is visiting the barrenness, the need of their life, just like he often visits the barrenness and the need and the struggles that you and I have. We just obvious we sometimes we miss it. A lot of times we pray for something we've been praying for so long, and God is revisiting, showing himself, but we're still saying, oh, that's very sweet, that's very kind, that's very encouraging, but we still have not taken that word as this is a word from God. This is the word of the Lord. So in verse 11, we start something very unique. So the angel of the Lord answered Manoah, your
Verse
what?
13.
13.
He said, well,
Okay, 13. So the angel of the Lord answered Manoah, your wife is to do everything I told her. She must not interrupt. No, she must not eat anything
good luck with that.
that comes from the vine, nor drink any wine or strong drink, nor eat anything unclean. She must do everything I have commanded her. In another word, obey the word of God. Do you want healing to your barrenness? Do you want the secret to life? Do you want to know how to be saved and have a savior? Obey the word of the Lord. God has been speaking to you. God has been sending messages to you. God is giving you a book that contains 66 books and, hundreds of chapters and all these promises. Obey them. Obey them. This is what you need to do right now. You're thinking of the big picture. You want the full picture. You want how to do this and that, and how to raise the kids and pay the bills and grow the ministry and be good to the wife and be good to, that's all great. That's all wonderful. But here is where it all starts. Obey the word of God. Listen to the word of God. Open the word of God. Treat the word of God as it's the word of God, not an encouraging message that you hear every now and then, but it is the word of God. Your wife must do everything I told her. This is the partnership for you and your wife. This is not just for the wife, because she can't just sit and not have wine and this and that, and you can be drinking all day. This is what your family is going to learn. This is what you guys are going to do. Obey the word of God. See, his son's calling became that Samson's calling happened even before his birth, just like your calling and my calling. You know, before I formed you in the womb, I have already appointed you. God knows our story. God knows the plans before even our grand, great, 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 great grandparents even met. God already has a plan or had a plan for all of us. Preparation precedes power. If you want power, prepare. Prepare. And this is how you prepare. Obey the word of God. You know, sometimes we're waiting for something magnificent, something amazing to happen, something miraculous to happen, and we miss the most basic things that God has given us. Obey the word of God. But to obey the word of God, we have to listen to the word of God. We have to read the word of God. We have to meditate on the word of God. We have to spend time. We have to be invested in the word of God. How far, how invested are you, are we in the Word of God? Is it every Sunday, Wednesday, Tuesday, and Friday? Or is it something that I feed on? Ask yourself this question. Did you spend more time this week eating than reading and meditating on the Word of God? Did you spend more time on social media than the Word of God? Did you spend time more time on the phone with friends and family? And you know, did you spend more time watching shows and TV and all of that than the Word of God? No wonder why our barrenness continues. No wonder why we can't get to that place of having what we want, having what God actually has or what he wants for us. So take it one step at a time. Obey the word of God. Your wife is to do everything I told her. The words that came out of my mouth, the words that I gave you, that's what you need to do. So you're thinking 10 steps ahead. Where is Samson going to go to college? Where is he going to train? Where is he going to learn how to fight? Where is he going to do this? That's what we're thinking. Really, that's what we're thinking. You know, when the kids are born, you know, we need to get the room ready. We need, as soon as they're born, we need to get a 529 plan, college fund plan. We need to, you know, think about where they're going to go to school and how we're going to pay for tuition, where they're going to live, and all of that. We start planning 20 years, and I'm not against planning. I like planning. I live by planning. But the most important part here is obey the word of God. If you want the barrenness to end, if you want this to end, obey the word of God. Verse 15. Please stay here, Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, and we will prepare a young goat for you. And the angel of the Lord replied, even if I stay, I will not eat food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, offer it to the Lord. For Manoah did not know that it was the angel of the Lord. Similar scenario happened back in Judges 6 when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon. Gideon wanted to host the angel of the Lord, and the angel of the Lord said the same thing. He said, you want to do something? Offer a burnt offering to the Lord. Manoah here wants to show hospitality, wants to pay back. Someone just gave him good news. And of course, you know, you gave me good news. I want to do something nice for you, because that's how human brain work. You do something good for me, I do something good for you. But that's when we're dealing with one another. Okay. He still has not realized, and it says it right here. He still does not know. He still does not know that this is the Lord, and everything that we are giving is we're giving by grace and as a gift. Nothing that you have done, Manoah, nothing you and I have done to end our barrenness, other than it is a gift from the Lord. It is a complete and full grace. This is a normal custom in ancient Israel. or in this look in this place, that when someone is important visit you, you have to honor them. And that's great. That's wonderful. But how are you going to be able to honor the Lord? How are you going to be able to pay him back? We're going to see in just 1 second. But the angel responds differently. I will not eat your food. There is nothing that you can offer me that I need. And my satisfaction is not by food and by drink. My satisfaction is by doing the will of God. Do you remember who said those words? Remember when Jesus, when the disciples and Jesus were walking around, and then he was talking to the Samaritan woman, and then the disciples went to the city to buy food, and if it was a long journey, no food, no drinks, nothing, and then finally they brought some food, and they were like, you know, teacher, we got some food and drinks, and he said, I have already eaten. And they're like, oh, maybe someone gave him something to eat. But what he said is, my food, my satisfaction come from doing the will of God. When he was tempted in the wilderness after fasting for 40 days, his food was the word of God. And the more the enemy tests him, the more he fuels himself by the word of God, the more full he becomes. Can I say that again? The more the enemy is testing us, the more the enemy tested Jesus, the more he responds with the word of God, and the more he becomes satisfied and full. I pray that this happens to all of us, that we really rely on the word of God. So the angel of the Lord said, I don't eat your food. My food is different. I am getting full right now by delivering this news to you, by delivering this message of good news to you. And instead, he redirects him to worship God. If you want to offer something, go ahead and offer a burnt offering. Okay? A burnt offering, as we know it is, means that which ascends, something referring to the smoke that rises to God. The principle of it is it's primarily for general atonement of sin, signifying complete and devotion to God. It is surrendering completely to God and saying that I am all yours. Everything that is in me is yours. That's what a burnt offering is. It's a way to worship God, completely surrendering Him. So completely offering yourself, everything that you are offering it to the Lord. So said the angels, the Lord said, if you want to offer something, worship God by a burnt offering. And we're going to revisit this in just a few minutes. This shows the important, this shows something very important. The angel does not want honor for himself. The angel is redirecting all the honor goes to the Father. All the honor goes to God. Sometimes when God moves in our lives, we try to celebrate the message instead of him who sent the message. Instead of celebrating the gift giver, we celebrate the gift. We hold on to the gift. We hold on to the message. And instead of trying to look at who sent us this gift, who gave us this grace, who sent us this message. God always redirects worship to himself, for Manoah did not know it was the angel of the Lord. He still thinks of the angel of the Lord as it's just a good message, it's just a messenger. And I pray that when we hear God's voice, we would really take the time and examine, because if this is God's word, if this is God's message to me, that I would realize that God is trying to tell me something, trying to tell me something important, that I need to hold on to it, that I need to focus on it. Meditate on it. Let it really sink in, you know, that eat his word, you know, to become it becomes how we fuel ourselves. The best we can offer God is to believe in what he did, to celebrate and recognize the original and most precious offer that he offered. Jesus Christ himself, his
Amen.
only son.
Amen.
So this is the kind of offering that we should be offering today, the offering of Jesus himself.
And now verse 17, it says, and Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, what is your name, so that we may honor you when your word comes to pass? Why do you ask me my name, said the angel of the Lord, since it is beyond comprehension? You know, names are very important in ancient times and very important to the people of God, because a name represents identity, and it also can represent authority. A name can tell you something very significant about the person that you are in front of. Names are very intentional during this time. So when he asks for a name, he wants to know, like, who are you? What tribe are you from? Where, what is your, you know, status? Like, who are you? Who am I speaking to? And the angel of the Lord said, Manoah wants to know the name so that he can later bring him honor properly. But the angel says, why does this matter to you? Because my name is beyond comprehension. And this word comprehension in Hebrew is peli, and it means wonderful, incomprehensible, and beyond human understanding. This word appears a couple of times throughout scripture. In Isaiah 9:6, it's very similar to what we read, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. They're very similar in Peli. Also in Psalms 139 verse 6, it says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Too wonderful for me is high, and I cannot attain it. God cannot be fully contained and understood by human understanding. That is what the angel of the Lord is saying to Manoah, that God is so great. He's so big. He is far beyond what we can comprehend in our own mind. It's funny, we often think that this incredible brain that God has developed in us and given us somehow can still understand God fully, when God was the creator of what we have. It's like, it's the creation saying, the creator, I want to know who you are. And God is saying, I am so much bigger. I am so much greater than anything your understanding can have. And he says to him, Peli, you cannot understand this. It is far beyond you. But what the thing that got me here is that a God so great, a God so incomprehensible, is coming here to earth to speak to his children, and in fact live on this earth. It really is a foreshadowing of Christ. This moment is a foreshadowing of Christ. It's look, God is so big and so amazing, and he is the only one that can offer salvation. And the only way he can do that is by coming here and being with us, people who won't fully understand him, really. The other thing here is that God is revealing himself very gradually to Manoah and his wife. It's not a like immediate, like, hey, I am the Lord. This is who I am, a foreshadowing of what's to come. Like, there's not this full story that they're completely understanding and comprehending. And I think sometimes when we're in situations where God is reaching us with a message, we want the entirety of that right away. We want to know, hey, what's the end game immediately? It's just, that's our human nature, right? That's not unusual. It's not just me. It's all of us, I think. That when we find out a little, like, has anybody ever told you a little piece of a story and you're like, wait, what about the rest of the story? Like you can't leave me hanging here. Like I need the rest of it. We deal with the Lord in that way. And God is giving us what we can handle and what we can understand in the moment. And we're often like gripping for more pieces. And when we do that, we miss out on what God wants us to learn now, what God wants us to understand right now in this moment. And so if there's something in your life or in my life where God just seems to be like just giving me a little bit at a time, he's giving me what he knows I can take and understand in the moment. Maybe I'm not ready to hear the entire plan. Maybe if I hear the entire plan, I'd be like, I don't know about that. I'm not, that's not where I am right now. That's not what I can have faith for right now, and miss something very, very significant. We're not always ready for the entire picture. And the angel of the Lord here, kind of like with a dropper, is kind of giving Manoah and his wife a little bit at a time so that they can receive it in the place where they are right at the moment.
Verse 19. Then Manoah took a young goat and a grain offering and offered them on a rock to the Lord. As Manoah and his wife looked on, the Lord did a marvelous thing. When the flame went up from the altar to the sky, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame. Manoah obeys and prepares a sacrifice, just like what he was told to do. He prepares a young goat and a grain offering. And the burnt offering and the grain offering, a little bit different. We often see them together. The burnt offering, as I said earlier, it's something that ascends, referring to the smoke that goes up, rising up. And the purpose is primarily for general atonement of sin, forgiveness of sins, and signifying complete surrender and devotion to God. Like, Lord, I messed up. I can't save myself, and I'm giving myself to you right now. I am here on the altar. I am all yours. It's usually a male animal or bird without blemish that it was killed and offered on the altar. Again, it represents the total consecration of of someone's life to the Lord. I am giving you completely my life. The grain offering is a little bit different. It's a voluntary gift of agriculture produce like flour and cakes and roasted grains. And the purpose is to for thanksgiving and honoring to God in the fruit of our daily labor. Okay, so the first one, I'm completely surrendered. I'm completely yours. Everything in me is completely yours. The second one, I'm thankful to everything you're done. And the work of my daily hand is my daily life is yours. So these are the two sacrifices that Manoah and his wife give. These are normal offerings that we hear about in the Old Testament. Okay. And if we look at it in the New Testament, we see how Jesus became our sacrifice. He became our offering, became the he died on the cross to save us and to pay for our sins, to become our atonement. And we also see the Holy Spirit that works in us, that lives in us to lead us in our daily life day by day. But something here supernatural happens that when the flames went up, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame. This is a reminder that what we need to offer to the Father today is not what we can do for him, is what he has done for us. If the difference between Christianity and anything else, as we often talk to people about it, every religion, every message, everything from the world tells you, here is what you need to do to reach God. Christianity tells us different. Here is what God did to reach you. Can I say that again? Every religion, everything in life tells you, here is what you need to do to reach God, or to reach respect, or to reach status, to reach this. Here is what you have to do. In Christianity, it tells us, here is what God did to reach you. And our sacrifice is not goats and bulls and all of that. Our sacrifice that we believe in is that the Son of God died on the cross to forgive our sins, to pay our debt. This is a powerful moment when you realize this is the marvelous, this is the miracle that we all should be celebrating today. You know, that the Son of God is our offering, that what we need to bring to the Father today isn't our good work, isn't our work in general, whatever it is, but what we need to bring to the Father today, our faith and our trust and our belief in what His Son did for us. This is the offering, this is the sacrifice. Listen, if we want to end our barrenness today, because there, just a reminder, this last week and this week, and even maybe just a little bit next week, we're going to talk about two people who are trying to end their barrenness, or actually God trying to end someone's barrenness. God is trying to end someone's lack of life, lack of abundant life, lack of production, lack of dreaming, lack of, you know, moving forward, breaking walls, breaking chains. God is trying to make a move in their life despite everything that they've been through, despite their current condition, despite what the nation is going through, despite all the craziness and all the mess around them. God is trying to break through and to give them a breakthrough. I know we're supposed to be studying about Samson, and we will. We'll get to Samson. But before we get to Samson, let's end some barrenness tonight. Let's end some thirst tonight. Let's end some hunger tonight. Let's end some fake work that we depend on and rely on. Let's go back and take the right offering to the Lord. Let's hear him when he's saying, I just want you to do what I've been telling you to do. I want you to open my word again. I want you to study it again. I want you to meditate on it again. I want you to see the real sacrifice. I want you to connect with Jesus, my son, because only him with whom I was pleased. So this is the supernatural thing that happened to him. And I pray that the same thing happens to you and me today when we see the real sacrifice, the real offering, when we see that this is the way that God is reaching us, not us reaching God. This is how God is reaching us, by the blood of His Son, by sacrificing His Son, by sending Him here to earth. This is not just a Christmas story in December. This is our life. So, the angel is ascending in flames, shows that this is not just a messenger. The moment, this moment, this was not just someone who's sweet and handsome and awesome and great coming to give you an encouraging message. No, this is the Son of God giving you life, the life that you've been searching for all of your life. The Lord is ready to do the same with every single one of us today. I think we're going to end it here today, and we're going to pick up again next week. But I just want to end it here in this area. God is trying to end barrenness. And the only way to end barrenness, the only way to end this chapter of our life, the only way we can break through and break every chain is by seeing and receiving what God is offering, His Son, by receiving what God is offering. You can go and prepare all the meals you want to prepare. You can do all the work that you want to work. You will be doing exactly like one of the sisters who's been working and working and working. You know, but Jesus tells her that the need is for one. And Mary chose that one. Shows that it's not by the work you're doing around the house. It's by listening to the one who came to save you, the one who came to offer himself for you. the one who came to restore who the Father is to you and to give you life and life more abundant. Does that make sense? Amen. All right, so we have about 10 minutes, so please comment, ask questions, or share with us something that God reveals to you.
I have a question.
Yes,
Any
sir.
idea why the name of the wife is not in there? But I
Mentioned
don't
the name of the wife. Why is the name of the wife not mentioned?
I have no idea.
know. Ideas, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Because like you said, the name has a significance, kind of meaning. And
Yeah.
she's not there.
Yeah,
But I
I have
mean,
no idea.
me neither, man.
Pastor L, do you have any insight on that? No. Yeah.
The wife. No ideas.
Om Shamshun,
Mother of
mother of
Samson.
Samson.
Did we go over what his name meant? Maybe there's
Yes,
insight
we did.
there. I thought I wrote everything down last time, but that part I must have missed.
His name means rest or place of rest, Manoah.
Okay. Which may be connected to rest or place of rest, may be connected to what you just closed with right now, Assam, and that is to believe and to receive, or to receive and to
Yes.
believe, however you phrased it. That has to be done in the place of rest. How do you think that's done in a practical way, since every religion, as you mentioned, is us trying to reach, or humanity trying to reach God, but in Christianity, it's God reaching us, and for the sake of removing the barrenness, if I'm tracking with you. So, in the sake of removing the barrenness and being in alignment with the Lord and presenting Jesus Christ, it comes from a place of rest, comes from a place of trusting, believing, and so on. What are some of the practical things that you or you guys have experienced or have put into practice that would help us get there collectively?
First and foremost is not definitely having a relationship with him through reading the word and prayers and my quiet time. Get to know him. You get to know him through these two practices, these two things. When you read the word and you just let it sink, not just reading the word as I'm reading the magazine, or no. Reading the word and waiting and hearing and asking him, and just let that word speak to you, memorizing the word. A lot of times we don't treat reading the word of God the way we should. We don't treat prayers the way we should. Prayers are not just in church or in prayer meetings. These are great and wonderful. It's great to come to Bible studies. It's great to go to Sunday, but cultivating that relationship with God takes personal time with where he I'm talking to him all day long. I'm talking to him to the I'm trying to find any opportunity to hear from him and to speak to him. So having and increasing that relationship with him through reading his word and through praying. That's for me, like that became that's for me very, very essential. This is where I start. This is what he tells her. You're going too far ahead. Just listen to what I'm telling you right now. Listen to the words that I'm telling you. What is he saying? He say, listen to the word of God. So if I am telling you, listen to the word of God, what would you do? You'd open your Bible, right? So reading the word for me, studying it, meditating on it, let it speak to me. Lots and lots of communication with God. I don't want to say it, like, please forgive me for saying this. We just now limited the word prayer to meetings, even though it's supposed to be continuous relationship and communication with God. When you're in the car, talk to God. When I go upstairs or downstairs, talk to God. When I'm in the gym, talk to God. When I'm running, talk to God. When I'm in the meeting, talk to God, and listen to Him as well. Having that continuous relationship throughout the day, I think that is one of the, this is where we should start. This is where we should start that relationship with Jesus, where we start seeing Him more and more, where we start seeing this is what the Father offered for you and me to reach us. I don't know if that answers your question,
It does.
or
It does.
partially.
And starting with the word and prayer, and God does speak. He'll speak through the
Yes.
word, obviously, first and foremost. He'll speak through a worship song that you've been listening to over and over again. He'll speak through a spouse. He'll speak through a friend. He'll bring levels of understanding and correction when the direction of my heart is aimed or positioned in a way to be able to want to hear him. And sometimes I'm in a place where I'm like, Lord, I can't hear you. Help me to hear you. Or my heart is sensing a bit of anxiety right now and there's tension. Help me to hear you. In other words, just be honest. Just be brutally honest,
Yeah.
because pretending or going through the motions, that doesn't help us either, But just being frank and brutally honest with ourselves and honest with God, which He knows anyway. And He didn't come to them because they were necessarily the most holy, the most righteous people living in Israel. He came to them as a sign of grace, which is the reason why He came to us, because we weren't holy. It was just a sign of grace. And so.
Amen.
Anyone else? All right. Well, we look forward to seeing you guys again next week. Please go back, read this chapter or read these verses again. I'm sure God is going to drop something on you. And remember, this is God reaching us, God reaching out to us, because He really, it's on His heart. It's really on His heart to give us a breakthrough.
Yes.
It's on His heart to give us a breakthrough in an area that's been barren, that's been dead for a long time. I don't know what's yours, but while we were studying this, God did reveal a few things to me that have been barren, and He would like to partnership with me. luckily for me, because He wants to give me that breakthrough. He wants to give us that breakthrough. I know we were supposed to be talking about Samson and muscles and fights and all of that, but sometimes it starts with something gentle, something simple. And God visited, the angel of the Lord visited this, broken couple to give them a breakthrough. And He is reaching out to every single person on this call or every person that will ever hear this message. God is reaching out to you to end the barrenness, to end the struggle, to set you free, and to give you a breakthrough. Take these words as they're words from God to you, and go back to your words today. Go back to the word of God. Go back to speaking with Him. Amen.
Lord, we thank you so much for your word, Lord. We thank you that you are the God that brings fruit where there is no fruit, that brings life where there's death, Lord. And so we commit to you barrenness in our life. We commit to you areas that need your hand to break through, that need your hand to see us in a space where we experience you and experience your signs and wonders. And so, Lord, we as a group commit those things to you today. We thank you for the example of what it looks like when you come onto the scene when all hope is gone, Lord. And so we thank you. We thank you for your word. I thank you for using this time to bring us into a deeper space with you, Lord. I pray over our brothers and sisters here tonight, Lord, that you would touch every heart, that speak to everyone that needs a word from you right now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, everyone. We'll see you next week.
See you next week,
Have a
everyone.
good night.
Bye.
Great.